Ooh, first pull.
Josh Ruther navigates his small boat out onto Quartz Lake en route to the eastern shore to drop off his friend, Wendell Schiffler, at his cabin on land he bought in 1972. That's when the lake, which has no surface water inlet or outlet, was about 1,500 acres. Schiffler says he's seen a lot of changes over the past few decades.
And that's where I docked the boat when we first got here. So you can see this has gotten shallow. And the lake has gone down just in the last couple weeks. The water's dropped a little bit.
Schiffler's a retired high school science teacher who lives in Fairbanks when he's not at his getaway cabin. He says the shoreline has receded as the lake's water level has dropped, and that enlarged his parcel from 2.5 to 3 acres. It also required him to extend his boat dock another 50 feet or so to get into water that's at least knee high, deep enough to keep small boats from running aground. And he says some of the other 50 people or so who own cabins around the lake have had to do the same thing.
You know, when people ask me, you know, the property owners say, oh, what are we going to do about the lake going down? You know, what can you do? Well, we adapt, that's right. And so I build another little section of dock out a little bit further.
Human adaptation to changes in the lake is what Ruther and his fellow researchers have been studying, though they're looking farther back at how humans who've inhabited the area over the millennia have changed their diet in response to the lake's periodically changing water level.
It's risen and fallen, Over the past 9,000 years, just continually.
Ruther's an assistant anthropology professor at UAF and curator of archaeology at the Museum of the North. He and other researchers have for 10 years now been excavating sites around the lake, looking for clues on how humans have found other sources of food because of the water level changes. He points to one site just offshore in shallow water near an old dock he tied his boat up at on the northern end of the lake, where archaeologists have found such artifacts as European trade beads and stone tools.
We radiocarbon dated the thing, so we knew they were within the last 150 years. So we're thinking it's about 1840 to 1860 is when people were on the shoreline when it was down.
Ruther says bits of bones and other evidence show moose were slaughtered at the site. He says that suggests they were killed while grazing on a type of grass that grows in shallow water, preferred by moose and other big game, including the bison and elk that lived here some 5,000 years ago. He says the animals move on as the area dries up and alder and willow overtake the grasses.
Then the shrubs come in and take over these grasses. That's actually taking over feed for grazers like bison.
A bit farther up the slope, a team of students and instructors looks for more evidence of adaptation. One of them is Bree Doring, a doctoral student from the University of Michigan. She's working on a dissertation on why early inhabitants apparently turned to fish as a protein source some 1,500 years ago when a volcanic eruption blanketed the area in ash.
Is that related to this sort of climactic change that we see associated with this volcanic eruption, potentially a big caribou die-off in the area or in the Yukon? Did that make people turn towards fish as a more important resource, or were people just attracted to it for other reasons?
During a coffee break in the cabin next to the dig, Ruther says it's important to study how humans have responded to climate change driven by forces of nature over a geologic timescale, because he says it might inform our understanding of changes that are occurring during a time of accelerated climate change triggered by human activity.
Whether you have global warming or whatever, the ecology is going to change either way. It's always in flux. And when something changes, we want to know how humans are changing themselves, how they're responding to that change. Mm.
Ruther hypothesizes that the warming climate is thawing permafrost more deeply in Shaw Creek Flats, an expanse of wetlands just north of Quartz. He says that draws water from the lake toward the Tanana River to the west. And he says warmer temperatures increase evaporation. Others say a decline in the area's beaver population due to excessive trapping has led to fewer beaver dams being built in the flats, which would slow the movement of water from the lake. But so far, there's no study on how modern-day humans are adapting to the many changes, besides building a longer dock. At Quartz Lake, I'm Tim Ellis.